The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
People getting in touch actually about tariffs. Blake says, we need a recession in this country to stop the madness and reboot the place. Somebody else says, he's not only ruining America, he's ruining the world. And why let him off? Cut the cord with the US. What he wants makes no sense to the world economy and commerce. And Dorina from Belfast says, why is everyone just bowing to Trump? Why let him think he holds all the cards? Why don't our leaders come together and take back control? Dorina, thank you for the text. 087 1400 106. We'll stick with the issue of tariffs. Ona Cahan is with me, Director of the Irish Whiskey Association. So, and this is kind of like Lanigan's ball, on again, off again, in and out again yesterday. Your expectation was, because I was speaking to you yesterday, because I know you were here chatting to Kuan for Splunk, was that the tariffs would kick in overnight, and then we wake up to find out not the case.
Not the case, no. They're going to kick in on the 7th of August. So, but it's the latest, I suppose. As you say, toing and froing all the time, and this uncertainty is causing, I think, a lot of concern, of course, for our members in the Irish Whiskey Association, for the wider, I think, Irish drink sector. I suppose what we heard last Sunday when this was announced, the EU-US deal, was that this would give some level of certainty to business, but it seems that there's actually not that much certainty about it either. And we're still waiting as well for this joint declaration, for that wording to be published, because that will be quite important just to see exactly what is exempted from these tariffs, where they have landed as regards this agreement. And then I suppose what process will take place over the next few weeks. And I suppose, and of course, obviously, for the people that I represent, for the companies that I represent, we want to see where Irish spirits or EU spirits products fall.
So give us a sense then of what politics are at play when it comes to the drinks industry and the broader industry. I'm not just talking about spirits. I know you guys are representing that particular part of the industry, but the broader industry here and across Europe as well, French wines, for example, and the view of the French in terms of these famous carve-outs from the tariffs and what they might look like.
Yeah, so I suppose, look, if you look at the overall, let's say, global drink sector, and you have to look at it from a global point of view, because a lot of these companies will have international portfolios that literally crisscross from America to Europe to wherever. We, since 1997, we had zero for zero. So it was tariff-free, worked extremely well. There was growth, I think, of 450% of the sector in both the US and the EU with that tariff-free regime. I suppose now where we are, obviously, that's all changed since with the new administration. We currently face a 10% tariff, and there's this threat, and we expect to be facing a 15% tariff from August 15th. And I suppose what we're concerned about is this move away from the zero for zero. This was a trading environment which worked very well for our sector, brought a lot of jobs, brought a lot of success, I suppose, to economies and communities all over the place. And any move away from that, we think, is detrimental. When it comes to the politics of this, I suppose the US does seem to be, I suppose, stalling on a return for the zero for zero. We understand that the European Commission has pushed a lot, and that's coming from, I suppose, pressure or maybe guidance from certain member states, such as France, as you mentioned, who would have obviously a very big wine and spirit sector, but also Ireland, who have recognised, I think, the importance of our sector to our economy here, and we're very appreciative of that. So I suppose, from what we understand at the moment, the negotiations are ongoing for that carve-out that you mentioned, but we just don't know where exactly we are. And I suppose the biggest concern that we would have, as I say, is that this move away from the zero for zero would be made, I suppose, more permanent. At the moment, it's been just since April, but...
Yeah, and that phenomenal growth from the late 90s, in the spirits industry in particular in this country, a triple-figure percentage-wise growth, how much of that is driven by the US market? And what would a 15% barrier between ourselves and the US market mean for the people you represent?
Well, look, if you look at it, the US has been the engine of this growth. So if you look at, like, Irish whiskey, we went from 4 distilleries in 2010, we have over 50 distilleries on the island now. So it's phenomenal growth. And if you look at the US, it represents maybe between 45 and 49% of our exports every year. So if you look at that in real terms, it's about 5.4 million cases of Irish whiskey are sold in the US every year. By far and away our biggest market. And that's been facilitated by the zero for zero agreement that I mentioned. So of course, a 15%, as you say, a barrier, it would act as a barrier. And I think what you would see is companies who have traditionally relied on the US market will be forced to make some very difficult decisions when it comes to that, whether it be raising the price on shelf. And we also recognise that it could mean struggling to find a new importer, distributor, or they might have to forego that market altogether, which obviously would be Very concerning for them.
Where, let's imagine for a moment that obviously the ideal is this return to zero for zero. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk about diversification and the need to find and cultivate new markets. Where are the possible new markets for Irish whiskey? Where was the low-hanging fruit?
Well, I suppose if you look at it, like, I mean, the EU26, of course, there's strong growth there. But if you look further afield, like, India is one that where we see it's very promising. Again, you've seen triple-digit growth year on year. We sell over 700,000 cases of Irish whiskey in India every year. The one thing I would say, though, however, is the biggest concern now is that from 2026, the UK has just recently signed a free trade agreement with India. So, for example, Scotch whiskey will face a much lower tariff in 2026. And I suppose that's also the same concern that we have now with the US. If you look at it, like tequila from Mexico, Canadian whiskey, they have a 0% tariff going into it. And also then Scotch whiskey now has a 10% tariff going into the US.
Even whiskey from up the road, Bushmills, will have a 10%.
Yeah, look, I mean, and we're very, very proud of the Irish Whiskey Association to represent our Irish whiskey producers in Northern Ireland. I mean, yes, it's definitely going to be advantageous for them, but there are other complications, especially when you consider that our supply chain crisscrosses across the island.
Ciarán Mullooly is with us as well, independent MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency. Ciarán, despite all this uncertainty, is there anything the Irish government can do beyond sitting back and letting our European betters negotiate this?
Good evening, Ciarán. There is indeed a lot the Irish government can do. I've been speaking to workers and some of the owners involved in the business in this part of the country. I'm up here at the top of Loch Ree at Lanesborough. Stone's throw from me is Loch Ree Distillery, small whiskey and gin operation. The big guys in Offaly, Tullamore Dew, Teeling is up there, Kilbeggan. Then you go down to Leitrim, you've got Gunpowder. And these guys are employing hundreds of people. And what they're saying to me, and the workers are saying to me today is as follows. We need tangible supports to get through this. And what's that? And I've asked specifically, and I say, is it Enterprise Ireland coming forward with some sort of employment initiative, employment retention grants? They're saying, make it simple. That's what they're saying to me. Make it simple. Can we focus on things like rates? Most of these guys are paying rates to the local authority. Can we get a rates rebate or a rates deferral for a period of time so we can cope with the present crisis? Can we get supports from Enterprise Ireland in terms of employment retention grants? Can we actually get something that will put money into our pockets to allow us to get over this hump at the moment until we cope? Because, Ciarán, you know this, I've told you before, most of these businesses have not been producing and not been distilling new whiskey at all in the last number of months. They tell me, they told the government 3 months ago that 90% of whiskey production in this country has actually stopped. And that's the problem here. The uncertainty is not good for this industry. It's not good for employees who are waiting to see what's going to happen next in terms of investment in their industry for the rest of next year. So the government needs to move and move quickly and get in there and speak on the ground to companies and offer them tangible support.
The hope might be within government circles that they would not need to make that offer, that we will get back to a zero to zero. And I just wonder, what's your sense of the lobbying that's happening in the background in Brussels and how effective or otherwise it is?
Well, I'll be straight about you. There was a lot of lobbying done by this sector with regard to the labelling of alcohol some weeks and some months ago. That also came out, started at a period of time when the speculation about the tariffs began. And that lobby sector has been quite successful because, as you know, the Irish government has conceded on that issue and has deferred that issue. I know that those lobbyists at the time were claiming that it would have been a double whammy on top of the tariffs cut. They were going to have a huge issue with regard to the labelling as well. So on that front, the government has supported them. However, in terms of other issues, they still have bills. They still have employees on their cards. They, a lot of these places have also got visitor centre operations, which are on the back of it, and restaurants. And there's other factors, indirect jobs involved. They're the ones I'm worried about, Ciarán. I think there was the instability going on is the problem. You can cope with this maybe for 2 months, 3 months, or 4 months. These guys are at it now for 6 months.
Yeah. That's the issue, though, isn't it? Instability. Because The big selling point for this deal last week, when Ursula von der Leyen went up to Scotland, was that we would have stability, we'd have certainty. We might not necessarily like the kind of the new reality, but at least we knew what it was. And within a few days, it seems to have unravelled.
And you know, this is the difficult part to understand. When we left Brussels 2 weeks ago, there was a sense at the time that the fight was on, was really going on, not just for the Irish whiskey people, for the wines and for the French. We thought the other players in the sector were really speaking loud and were and they were being heard. Like, as usual, the Germans and the French are loudest in Europe. Let's be honest about it. And we felt at that stage that Maris Sefcovic in particular was coming back and saying, I'm holding out here. We're going to carve out these areas and keep them safe. So you can understand the disappointment of the whole trade when we looked at the Taoiseach and Simon Harris on the news last night. I thought he was ashen-faced telling us that that there's no carve-out, and if they were announced this morning, that 15% would be in place. We have to work hard in the next 7 days, continue this European negotiation as best they can, because you know this cannot go on without difficulties in the industry.
Owen, I was speaking kind of after the deal was done to a colleague of yours, to Danny McCoy of IBEC, and you know, really the only kind of thing that he saw in this deal of value was that it brought a degree of certainty. He was very critical of aspects of it, but at least it brought certainty. Almost immediately there was uncertainty about pharmaceuticals, there was uncertainty about agri-food, there's uncertainty about the drinks industry, there was uncertainty overnight as to when the actual tariffs would kick in. We think it's going to be next Friday. Like, I mean, your man could change his mind four or five times between now and next Friday. I'm not sure how much certainty we actually have.
To be honest, I'm not sure either. We won't have it until we get that joint declaration and that wording nailed down. So I suppose, as Ciarán has said there, I mean, it's important over the next 7 days that we continue that work. I think that will hopefully give us a bit of clarity. I've said it before, I was hopeful for clarity with this deal. I don't think we've got much clarity, to be honest with you. As you said there's still a lot of questions that are unanswered. But look, I think we do have to be also, I suppose, we have to be serious about this. I mean, if it is a case that we're facing a 15% tariff, as Ciarán has mentioned there will be a need for a conversation around what supports are available to this industry, which is facing unique pressure. You know, and otherwise extremely viable industry, but it's just in a situation now where the rug has been pulled out from under us, to be honest. And I think we'll have to, engage with government. And as Ciarán has mentioned, there have been some, changes in regulation that have been brought through to reduce costs. We're very appreciative of that. But I suppose that conversation is that might start as well from the 7th of August, especially if we're faced with a 15% tariff.
All right. Well, listen, given that uncertainty, we will be talking about it more on this show over the next few days and beyond. Owen O'Cahan is the director of the Irish Whiskey Association, and Ciarán Mullooly is an independent MEP for the Midlands Northwest West constituency.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.